Yes, welcome back to the last show of the week here on World Football Daily, and what a weekend we have coming up in North America. It is, of course, the start of the Major League Soccer season we've been waiting for so long, and finally, it's back with us. Can the Galaxy 3-peat at SKC, built for world MLS domination this year? All our answers will be revealed by the man who's joining us on the line, Mr. Brian Dunseth, football commentator and former US men national team player, joining us on the line. Brian, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate, and it's a pleasure to have Major League Soccer back again.
Yeah, thanks as always. Looking forward to it. Quick off-season, quick turnaround, lots of new names, new faces, couple players leaving the country, so it's definitely going to be a new-look season for MLS.
Plenty of new look names and faces in Major League Soccer. Let's start with the kind of this team that has shocked us so much this offseason, Toronto. With everything that they've done off the field this offseason, is it going to have an immediate impact positively on the field for them this year?
Yeah, I think in terms of immediate impact in a positive way, I think it's going to be the communication factor that Ryan Nelson brings to the table. I think you have that instant respect when you see a guy like Nelly who's played at the highest level, who has that experience by playing in D.C. and winning a championship. You can't help but respect his knowledge, especially because he stepped right off the field. The difficulty, though, for Nelly, it's his first gig. You know, it's the first time he's going to be a head coach. And for all of us players and all of us pundits to sit up and say, well, why didn't you make that substitution? Why wouldn't you make that move? How are you going to change the game? You know, that's going to be the pressure cooker. And you know, that's not easy. You know, when you're sitting on the sideline, you're trying to make the right decision, and you're trying to play the tactics. It's I think there's going to be a pretty steep learning curve for Nelly. But overall, it's about changing the culture of the locker room in the right way, and I think Nelly has the capabilities of doing that.
Is there a danger, do you think, at all, that he's going to be so close out of the game that it's going to be hard to separate that manager from the player's kind of role, or do you think that might be a good thing on this Toronto locker room?
You know, I think I agree with you. It is a double-edged sword at times, but I think the one thing about Nelly is he's kind of like Jason Christ in that, you know, I think he's going to have the ability to step off the field and slide onto the sideline and be okay, because Nelly's the type of guy where he's basically been putting together these training sessions, these ideas, for years. He's been writing them down, and you know, he's got his own little manual from all the different coaches that he's been around. And he's been around some of the better ones in the EPL for years. So, you know, I think as a player, anytime that you're going through these training sessions, you're saying, okay, I like this, hate this. The boys love this one, the boys can't stand that one. And, you know, I think even down to fitness sessions, I think all those things really come into play. And I think those will be a positive factor for Nelly.
Who's made the biggest impression for you in the off-season so far, Brian? Who's, do you think, has stacked their roster ready to make a big improvement on last year? Maybe not an MLS Cup run, but obviously has made a marked improvement on last season.
I would say two teams in particular. I would say, in my opinion, New York got stronger because of Fabiana Spindola and Thomason Olave, and they added a few little pieces of the puzzle. So I think in terms of competition and quality on the field, they'll be better. I think they'll be a little bit more dynamic with Fabian and Thierry. You know, Lloyd Samuel out on the right. You got Cahill and Dax McCarty underneath. Defensively, you got Thomas into the mix if he can stay healthy. I think they're poised for a good run. And I think the Eastern Conference is kind of in that three-year cycle where they're just a little bit weaker than the Western Conference in terms of the teams themselves. But for me, honestly, it was a late run-up through FC Dallas. You know, I think coming into the preseason, I think everyone was saying, okay, where's the moves? What's going to happen? You guys haven't gotten any better. You've actually gotten worse in terms of the depth. And then all of a sudden, Breck Shea goes to Stoke. Eric Gosley, Kenny Cooper, Javon Watson. You know, I think for me, from an attacking standpoint, you got to keep an eye on FC Dallas because I think they can do some real damage if they stay consistent.
There was so much pressure last season on Portland Timbers, of course. Everybody expected them to at least make a playoff place at the beginning of the year, and never happened. They had a dire season. Is there less pressure on Portland now, or is there just as much to make a big improvement and actually get that playoff spot at the end of the season?
Yeah, I think because of Merritt Paulson, and I think because of the Timbers Army, there's always going to be that pressure on Portland. I think Caleb's come in, and I've known Caleb for a long time, and I think he's different in terms of his approach to the game. He's constantly teaching, whereas in MLS, sometimes it's more managing in certain clubs. And I think he's brought in some great players. I think Ryan Johnson is a very good MLS player, and especially on that surface with his work rate. Nagby playing off him. Will Johnson, I think, is a huge pickup. They bring him in from Salt Lake, and they immediately name him captain. So I think it's going to be better. My concern for Portland, as always, is going to be their back four. And I think they've got very serviceable players, but I don't think they necessarily have defenders that, when you look at that line sheet as an opponent, you're afraid of or you try to shy away from.
What about the top of the Major League Soccer kind of table then, Brian? We've seen, of course, San Jose that have that incredible season during the season last year, but fall away in the playoffs. How much of a loss are Simon Dawkins and Ike Opara to this side in this offseason? Have they done enough to keep themselves up in that kind of top three maybe of Major League Soccer?
Yeah, I would say Opara's not necessarily a big loss, only because he wasn't playing significant minutes. And I think after that first year, where he showed so well, I think Bernardes and Hernandez kind of showed that the starting center back spots were theirs. Then they go and they sign Nana Atakora. So you've got that speed and physicality. You can also apply Justin Morrow inside. So I think defensively, San Jose is going to be all right, even with the loss of Opara. But I couldn't agree with you more. Simon Dawkins, I think, was, for me, one of the most underrated players in MLS, only because he's a different player. He's kind of a hybrid. He's not necessarily a wide player. He's not necessarily a central midfielder. And he's not necessarily a forward. And I think when you had Gordon and you had Lenhart and you had Wondolowski, he was primed to pick up the ball in dangerous spots because, you had all these other players around. But, we were kind of talking a minute ago. With the preseason being so short, you're seeing a lot more injuries because guys go from shutting their bodies down to going full force and having about a month to get ready. And I think San Jose is going to be one of those teams in the early part of the season that are kind of struggling to sort out what they look like, what their formation is, and getting healthy bodies on the field.
Brian, there was a side that really took our eye, especially in the second half of the season, was the Columbus Crew. Once they brought in Higuain, they started to make that move up the table and just missed out on the playoffs, but looked again with a very strong finish in that second half of the year. Does this carry over for this side, do you think?
Yeah, I think it does. And then you add Goncalves in the back, a couple good little signings. I think they'll be much better this year in terms of consistency. In MLS, what it really comes down to, doesn't it, is just health over the long course of the season. Salary jumps up a little bit in terms of the salary cap. You're starting to see more players, an influx of foreign players wanting to come to the league in terms of quality players. And I think that you're starting to see certain clubs build depth. Hopefully Columbus is one of those because their fans deserve a winning team. And, for me, it's nostalgic. One of the first soccer-specific stadium in MLS. And I think it's kind of hollow ground for Major League Soccer. So I would love to see the Columbus Crew kind of up near the top of the table consistently over the next couple of years.
A side that's been consistently on the top of the table in Major League Soccer, of course, is the LA Galaxy of the last two seasons. And everyone's talking about this three-peat, Brian. Does it happen this year without Beckham being there?
I don't think we as fans understand what we lost in David Beckham leaving Major League Soccer. I'm actually interested to see, off the field, the tickets and the jersey sales and how that kind of levels out. Because, lightning in a bottle is no longer in Major League Soccer. I mean, there's only one person that has that ability, and Cristiano's a close second, but no one will ever touch what Beckham did. So you lose his passing ability on the field, I think, is a huge loss. His ability to help mature players in game situations and the way he pings a ball and plays simple. His legs didn't have what he used to have, but, man, you could just tell when he got his foot on the ball, the team, the team just took off and movement and interchanging and being dynamic going forward. I think that was one of the things that hurt opponents defensively. I think there's still going to be question marks around Landon until he steps on the field. It was good news for LA to get Janino full time and actually buy out that loan situation that he had. So now he's their player. I think something that no one's really talked about so far is Cuticini. I mean, Cuticini hasn't played a lot of games. Yeah, he's been in the EPL. Yeah, he's been a backup. But when you get rid of Josh Saunders, who's been the goalkeeper for three out of the last four MLS Cups, and you go for a 37, 38, 39-year-old keeper that hasn't played a lot of games recently, I for one, am interested to see how that works out and see how quickly he adapts himself, especially because LA is playing in CONCACAF Champions League early in the season. I like the development of Jose Villarreal. Jack McBean will get stronger. I want to see Jossie Zardes alongside Robbie Keane. And I think that you can never count out the LA Galaxy with the young experience that they've had over the last couple of years.
Because, Brian, there was a point last year when Saunders was out injured and the Galaxy really, you know, the back four looked disorganized and really went through a tough time without him being there. He was such a leader at the back for the Galaxy in terms of that organization and keeping things smart and strong for that back four. This impact on Josh Saunders, you said it's been overlooked, but how big an impact do you think this could be of him not being there anymore between the posts?
Well, I think, and no doubt, this Cuticini, I mean, he's got plenty of experience. You know, he's got Champions League experience, he's got EPL experience. So in terms of communication and leadership, but it's also, you know, there's an understanding, and that comes through repetition. It's not just through practice, it's games. And the preseason being shorter, you're not seeing as many games. You're seeing more meaningful games, but just not as many games. So, I mean, listen, A.J. De La Garza, Omar Gonzalez, Todd Donovan, Sean Franklin, I mean, those guys have been through the ringer both negatively and positively. So I think they've got plenty of experience. And now it's just about the relationship and figuring out, could he change these tendencies? You know, is he quick off the line? Does he like to stay connected? How is he on his crosses? You know, even simple things like back passes, you know, when you're getting the ball and you're playing the ball back to him. You know, if he's right-footed, is he confident enough to play out with his left? Does he try to keep possession? You know, is he just one of those guys that just clears the ball as far as he can every time? I think all those things you learn and you work out during training sessions, but I still think once you get into game situations, it's going to be a little bit different because Cuticini hasn't seen in real time any of these players.
Now, Brian, you mentioned as well that the impact not only of the loss of David Beckham on the LA Galaxy, but the loss of Beckham potentially on Major League Soccer, which is a big question mark hanging over this season. There's plenty of big names still, obviously not as big as Beckham, but still rumoured to be joining Major League Soccer. How much could, say, bringing in a couple of players like Obafemi Martins and Kaká especially, how much could that be a big deciding point for Major League Soccer's popularity this season?
You know, it's a great question. I think it's, for me, it's something that I kind of struggle with figuring out the answer for, because I don't think anyone understands this, but realistically, outside of Landon, and Landon was maybe 5% of what David was capable of doing, who's going to be on Ellen DeGeneres? You know, who's going to be on the red carpet, on Oscars or the Emmys or whatever? Who's going to be hanging out with the celebrities? You know, You had a once in a lifetime situation with David Beckham, and you know, the brand awareness of Major League Soccer, you know, the brand awareness of LA Galaxy. I think it just realistically won't be the same without him being a part of the organization. So, from MLS's perspective, I think Obafemi Martins is going to be a fantastic player. I think he's so dynamic going forward and committed and strong. Fantastic left foot, has the ability to get in behind, stretch defenses. He and Eddie Johnson could be a handful. You know, Robert Earnshaw, I guess, is going to Toronto. You know, athletic players up front, those guys are dangerous. But in terms of a branding standpoint, I've had this argument with Ben Hooper, my business partner, all the time. And the only one we can think of is Cristiano coming close to potentially doing what David did, having that same effect. I personally don't think he's coming over before he heads back to Man United for a few years.
I was going to say, I don't think we can see Cristiano coming at the end of this season, that's for sure. But Brian, is that maybe a faux pas on Major League Soccer's part? Yes, they had Beckham and it was great to put a lot of the attention on him, but should maybe Major League Soccer have done a little bit more to promote players like Eddie Johnson or Graham Zusi, who are playing for the U.S. men's national team and were starting to make names of their own in Major League Soccer as well?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We have the same conversation about Adidas and Nike and Puma as well. It's You know, we're not creating heroes in the United States. You know, the Timmy Howards and the Clint Dempseys and all that. You're not seeing billboards because they're playing in the EPL. You know, they're not based in the United States. And outside Landon Donovan and the Gatorade commercials and the Nike commercials, you know, we don't really have a lot of heroes that we're promoting here in the U.S. And I think it's twofold. I think one, we need to see a harder push and a harder financial backing to that. I understand the pressure that's associated with that, but I would say also number two, we need a commitment from television to have a full-time a home, you know, a soccer Saturday, a doubleheader, or whatever that may be. But to where everybody in the United States, it doesn't matter what coast they're on, they look at their watch, they say, "Damn, I got to get home in 10 minutes because the game's about to kick off." And until we have kind of a destination setting for television and Major League Soccer in particular, I think it's going to be a hard sell for fans that don't really understand the sport to number one, find it, and number two, maybe understand it.
Brian, it's always going to be a difficult season for Major League Soccer, both on and off the pitch this year, but I'm going to give you the most difficult question of all. Who at this point in time do you see being the two sides battling out for MLS Cup glory next at the end of this year, sir?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to say right now, New York from the Eastern Conference has, I would say New York, you got to say Houston's in it. My concern for Kansas City is Espinosa and Kai Kamara that hasn't been replaced. West is such a toss-up. I think because L.A. showed last year that it doesn't matter how bad you are by July, as long as you're hitting that run in the second half of the season, you can do some damage. So, man, he's throwing it to me. Let's go New York, and let's see how Real Salt Lake does. I'll play the loyalty card on that one.
All right, and New York against Real Salt Lake final is what Brian Dunseth is calling on the eve of the weekend that kicks off the Major League Soccer season once again. Brian, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, mate. It's been far too long since we had you on, and I'm sure we'll be using your knowledge as much as we can as the season continues, mate.
Always call me, man. You guys always got my number. Appreciate it.
We'll always take you up on that opportunity, mate. That's for sure. Brian Dunseth joining us here on World Football Daily on the Friday edition of the show to preview the Major League Soccer season. It's New York against RSL, according to the former US men's national team star. We'll see if Brian's right in a few months' time. And as he says, it doesn't matter how badly you start in Major League Soccer. It's about how well you finish.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.